This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Mike, how would you evaluate Broderick's performance?
You know, certainly it could be better, but certainly all of our performances could be better. Our quarterback got hit too much, and he was a component of that.
Mike, do you worry about confidence with him at all?
I don't.
Why not?
Because it's football. You don't get to the National Football League by being fragile emotionally. There's a lot of confident guys that I work with. You win some battles, you lose some battles, you come back fighting. That's just the nature of the men that play this game at this level.
As Mike Tomlin likes to say on a Tuesday, good afternoon. It is a Tomlin Tuesday. There's a lot to talk about as the Steelers get ready for the Seattle Seahawks to fly into Pittsburgh on Sunday for the annual holiday that is the Steelers home opener. 1 o'clock kickoff at Acrisure Stadium. The Steelers 1-0. It'll be Aaron Rodgers against Sam Darnold, who Mike Tomlin spent almost no time talking about today. We are not just a quarterback town. You know, there are a lot of football towns in America where the conversation is quarterback 24/7, 365, because their fans, I hate to say this, don't have the depth of knowledge that Steelers fans have. And Steelers fans love, maybe more than any fan base, getting into line play and the intricacies and the depth of line play and how important trench play and line play is. And that's
why
cool.
Do you think that is?
I think that's what ball knowers, they look to. They don't just concentrate on one guy. They look at the blocking and the play inside, and they get really in the weeds there. Many of our listeners were high school players themselves, and many of them can relate to the guys up front. And so that's why we can have a conversation about Broderick Jones that's probably better and deeper than a lot of other places. You've got Tomlin saying it could be better from him. No crap. That was the understatement of the year, the leader in the clubhouse from Mike Tomlin. Of course it could be better because it can't possibly get any worse. The guy gave up 3 sacks and 4 pressures. He was horrible. And Tomlin gets asked about confidence and says he's not worried. Well, I'm raising my hand in the air as someone who is saying one game in, I am very, very worried. You know who else is worried? Trey Essex, who won Super Bowls with the Steelers, who went on his podcast and said the following: it didn't look like Broderick Jones belonged in the NFL. It didn't look like he belonged in the NFL. This is a make or break year for him. The Steelers have to make a decision in part based on how he plays this year on his future. This is his third year as a starter. He's now 24, or third year in the NFL. He's 24 years old. Come on now. You're back at your natural position. I don't know if I expected you to be Anthony Munoz on Sunday. I didn't, but I was hoping the conversation wasn't, it looked like the Steelers played with 4 offensive linemen instead of 5. And that's where we're at here. And you've already got Steelers fans and some media saying the backup who they signed 15 seconds before the season started, Pete, might be better because it can't get any worse, and we can't allow for a guy that can't move an Aaron Rodgers to play behind this guy. So Yes, there were many positives that came out of the Steelers game. Rodgers' great performance, the fact that they won, Boswell making a 60-yarder, Jalen Ramsey made big plays, Calvin Austin looked like a wide receiver too. The biggest negative, I think, is Broderick Jones. And he's going to get another crack at it. They're not going to give up on this after one game, Chris. But I don't have patience for the entire season. They can't have patience because Jones will go out before, or Rodgers will go out before Jones does in that case. If they give him 17 games and he looks anywhere close to the guy he looked like on Sunday.
I'd hate to be somebody who danced around their workplace singing the Rocky theme when they drafted Broderick Jones. Could you imagine being an idiot who did that, who believed in Broderick Jones to that extent? It would be horrible to show up to work every day if that was your Broderick Jones initial reaction. I would say I'm obviously worried. I like to believe that I'm an honest broker, and I was crushing how bad he was during the game. I was just appalled at what I saw. I did not like, let me put it this way, I'm not giving up on him yet. I think that they're going to at least go to the bye week, probably beyond it though, because it would be actually hard for him to be worse than he was in that Jets game. Like, I expect this game to be better only because I don't think you could play a worse game. You'd almost have to literally just stand still and let the guy run by you. Here is what troubles me the most about his performance so far. Yeah, he gets moved over to his natural position, maybe in-game, real deal, it counts, it's going to be a little bit different. He didn't just get beat on bull rushes by a bigger, stronger guy in Quinnen Williams. He didn't just get beat on speed moves by Will McDonald, a smaller, quicker guy. He got beat every which way. Those guys just took turns running around and or through him. McDonald both spun around him on a quickness move and bull rushed him, just picked him up by his pads basically and shoved him back into Aaron Rodgers to create a sack. Like, you could, it's one of those deals where if in golf they say the worst thing's a two-way miss, you don't know if you're going to miss it left or you're going to miss it right off the tee, so you can't plan for it. He's got a two-way inability to block. You can beat him with bull rushes, you can beat him with speed rushes. There isn't one thing where you say, all right, Broderick, you're not getting beat strength for strength, you are getting beat with quickness, let's get an earlier pass set. Or the opposite, you're fine on speed rushes, you need to anchor yourself down, you need to plant your ass a little bit lower to the ground to handle some of these bull rushes you're getting. He can't block anybody right now. It is a big worry. It is the biggest worry coming out of that game because it runs concurrently with the biggest reason for optimism. Like, it's doubly bad because I think if Rodgers had looked pedestrian yesterday, say, and they had won like a defensive slog where he looked rusty and Jones looked bad too, you wouldn't feel as like urgent about Broderick Jones. But because Rodgers was so good in spite of Jones being so bad, it feels like an even more urgent problem because it feels like if he's bad, he will end up robbing them of something, judging by the way Rodgers played, that could be pretty fun and pretty special to watch.
412-928-9370 if you want to react to Broderick Jones, Mike Tomlin saying it could be better. Okay, yeah, we get it.
Well, one more thing about that before people like and sound off here. I did think, I don't know if anybody else got this impression, I didn't really ask you what your impression was when we were both listening to it. I thought he could have crushed him a lot more than he did. I thought Tomlin gave the answer he gives when he wants to try to keep a player's confidence up and keep a player knowing that, like, hey, the coach has your back, you're still in his good graces, you're not, like, dogging it in practice or whatever. He immediately said, yeah, he could have been better, so could everybody else. We have seen him send messages about players he's really pissed at in the media.
Yeah.
I did not sense that as one of them. That's not how I took it. And believe me, I'm not saying that because I think Jones deserves to be defended. I'm trying to call it down the middle.
It's only one game. That's probably why. But to me, it's a continuation of what his entire career has been to this point. And he no longer has the excuse that they're playing him out of position. If he did this at right tackle, we could hammer the team for it. We can't harangue anybody but himself for the way this went. The thing that is going to constantly be brought up by me until his play changes is the fact that I have heard repeatedly from people. They don't think football is the priority it needs to be for him. There are absolutely people around him, and I would think inside the Steelers organization, that wonder if he's making the best use of his time when it comes to time spent away from the facility that should be used getting better at his job. Yep. And that was absolutely a concern, and I'll say the quiet part out loud because it is true, and anybody who denies it is full of it. And I'm not going to go into details here because I'm not allowed to, but believe me, it's a consideration. And it's something that they know about and they haven't been thrilled with in the past. So unless like they've got new information on that that makes them think, oh yeah, this guy's doing everything in his power now to make himself the best left tackle possible, I'd be thrilled to hear that because I haven't heard that and I know for a fact it was not that way the first 2 years of his Steelers career.
Are you
harder for me to empathize with a guy like that, Chris. You don't hear Mike Tomlin throwing around the football justice card with Broderick Jones like he did with Kenny Pickett.
Are you implying, like, two in there, that there's something specific he does away from the field that they wish he would do less of or anything like that?
I think there probably is, yes.
I think you and I have both heard the same sort of rumblings that we would not be able to say with any certainty, but yes. I don't know. Here's what I had trouble squaring with Broderick Jones. This is it. Whenever he's out there, and this is like a stupid metric, when it's like time to pick a running back up off the ground or time to like dap up the quarterback because something good happened and like you're engaged, you're celebrating, you're being team first. When Pickens would lose his mind last year and Jones was on the field, he was trying to separate him. It looks like there's a basic level of engagement and enthusiasm, right? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
He doesn't look like a malcontent on the field, like body language sucks, etc.
Yeah,
he
brought up the George Pickens thing. Look at the way he tried to like get him back.
It's very hard for me to square the fact that that guy who seems to give a crap on the field and be very engaged can't get it together and realize off the field that there's more that goes into being a big-time left tackle or offensive lineman than just being a big athletic dude. Like, I would want to believe that he'd see the tape from week one here and say, this isn't good enough. I got to buckle down here and get rolling.
What's your level of concern in Broderick Jones? Mine is red alert. Mine's about as high as it can be. 412-928-9370. Here's Zach in New Kensington. Hello, Zach.
Hi, big fan.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm like DEFCON 5 over here with Broderick. I thought Dan Moore was bad, and this was a, you know, slap in the face.
DEFCON goes in the other direction, though. If it's like as bad as it can get, it's DEFCON 1. Yeah, DEFCON 5 would mean not that bad. He just gave up a couple pressures.
Thank you for clarifying the DEFCON rules for us, Malzi.
Yeah,
thank you for being our DEFCON expert.
In a while, so forgive me. I will say I would rather have Will McDonald than him right now. And then my other thought, just tell me what you think. Do you think that with Boswell kicking that 60-yarder, you know, Tomlin's going to feel real bullish and start kicking at the 50-yard line, you know, at the first quarter with 5 minutes left?
So attempting 68-yard field goals? No, I don't think he's going
to... No, he means like 60-yarders. I think kicking it actually from the 50. I think Tomlin, if he's smart, should let Boswell decide exactly what he's going to do and when. Like, I don't think Mike should ever say, oh, I might be sacrificing field position if he misses. You should treat it as he's going to make every single kick.
I know this town loves talking offensive linemen, and so here's a chance to weigh in on Broderick Jones. We all watched it Sunday. How worried, how concerned are you by it? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. First caller says he is DEFCON 1. As concerned as you can possibly be. I pretty much co-sign that. 412-928-9370. Text us on the Edgar Slattern Associates fan text line. A person in your law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Here is Sean Myers, first headline of the day.
Hello, this is Hollow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Famer Dick LeBeau, and you're listening to the number one sports talk show in Pittsburgh, the PM team, with Pony Mueller and Donnie Football. Go Steelers.
Happy birthday, Dick. I believe 83 years young, still going strong. And we appreciate the shout out. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. In 15 minutes, we are going to be joined by a man named John Costco. Why? Because he is the person responsible for grading Pro Football Focus's quarterbacks in week one. And he graded out Aaron Rodgers as one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL on Sunday. So we are going to interrogate the hell out of him.
He did play college ball at Kansas. He's a defensive back.
Well,
got to know how to stop him, right?
Fortunately for him, or for us, I should say, we're not trying to catch a ball over the middle. We are debating him. This is a rhetorical argument. And I don't see how he wins this one.
I have a pretty good idea of how it's going to go. He's going to say, this is my rubric. My rubric is ironclad, or I believe in it.
Your rubric sucks ass. You think that's a good comeback? You like that one, Sean?
That was a good one, yeah. He won't know what to say to that.
What if he just says, that's very juvenile of you. Why should I continue this interview?
And I'll say, you don't have to. And if he hangs up, well, then consider us all winners.
Right? You had a lot of those. You've had some fun ones when you've done national shows with pretty famous people saying obscene things to you and or hanging up. Simeon Rice, I believe.
Yep.
Didn't you have it out with Mark May
James
once?
Harrison's girlfriend.
She called in just as a regular caller, right?
Yep.
Then there was, of course, the late Texas Dolly Doyle Brunson who would just call in to give you takes.
Yeah, rip my picks.
I'd like that, though. That's a big flex for you.
On Twitter, do you think Broderick Jones is a bust? 79% of our listeners say yes. Yes, they do. Already putting him in the Kenny Pickett, Devin Bush, Artie Burns category.
It's trending in the wrong direction, and it frustrates me that a guy who appears to care on the field doesn't seem to think that you're supposed to extend that caring and professionalism off the field.
Do you think he's a bust? 412-928-9370. Here is Dave in Delmont. Hello, Dave.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I don't want to be Mr. Obvious, but, you know, as bad as he was getting beat on Sunday, was there ever a thought to give him a hand, maybe a...
Kenneth Gainwell actually did that, like, without, I think, it being part of the scheme. He saw Jones get beat to the inside once and had a nice little chip to allow a play to continue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I get it. You know what you're going to do, but, you know, sometimes you got to change it up. And when you see a guy getting beat that bad, and you know Rodgers can't move, what are you doing? Not helping anybody block... to help him.
The problem with that to some degree is, at least this would be my response maybe. One, you draft a guy in the first round at left tackle eventually and you put him there finally because you expect him to be able to handle pass rushers one-on-one. That's the whole reason he's a first round tackle. Two, the more you keep guys in to chip,
right,
the fewer things you can do offensively.
So think about what Mulsey just said there, Dave. If you count the quarterback, and you should, so that makes five offensive linemen plus the quarterback, six. If Darnell Washington stays in to block, that's seven. That would mean you'd have essentially seven guys to block, maybe four, which would mean on the passing play, you'd have seven defenders against four guys. How's anybody going to get open in that situation?
Okay, well, explain this to me. Down last year, the last five games, How were teams able to chip T.J. Watt and have two guys blocking him and move the ball on us like there's no problem?
They would say it's because their communication sucked and nobody knew what they were doing and nobody was on the same page.
Okay. Hey, by the way, he's a sumo wrestler. That's what he does. That's what he likes doing, and that's probably what he's going to do in his life.
Thank you, Dave.
Quick jump to sumo wrestler. Wasn't the whole point that he wasn't keeping enough weight on?
I saw sumo wrestling at the McAfee event. They do a lot of false starts. They look like they're ready to wrestle, but then they like tap themselves out because they need to get
rehyped.
Yeah. I didn't know that until I actually saw it live. Did you know that, Sean?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big sumo guy. So I'll start with Yokozuna.
Wait, are you kidding right now?
Yes, I'm very much kidding. Yes.
Like, could you name somebody other than
Akebono?
Akebono, isn't he the greatest sumo of all time?
Chris, I mean, he's my personal
He had the
favorite.
Title of Yokozuna, I believe, which is like the highest honor
Chris,
in
for
sumo.
No joke, for one collision, it might take 15 minutes for them to get ready to do it.
That's not a good action to inaction ratio.
And then
there.
That collision probably lasts 15 to 30 seconds tops.
What are the rules of engagement for sumo? Like, do they have to, you know, is it like in football, if you get your hands outside the pads, that's holding? Like, what are they allowed to and not allowed to do? Can you give the guy a Three Stooges eye poke while you're locked up?
No, you can't, but I think
yoink.
You're allowed to wrap up the guy if you can get your hands on him.
There's like, also, everyone assumes these guys are 600 pounds. Aren't there some dudes who are only like 285?
I don't know that much about it.
I think there are some dudes that are very undersized, and they are real technique guys.
The
low
ones,
man
the ones I saw at McAfee's thing here had to weigh at least 400 pounds a pop. They were some big men.
I mean, our guy Callis is a big guy, and honestly, I think if Callis went in there, I think he could knock some of these guys around.
Didn't that almost happen at one point?
Probably. He's got
what,
dancing
bear. Callis pursuing
sumo?
No, he did do judo.
He's got the dancing bare feet, man.
And his instructor said that there was potential for him to be a black belt. He called in and said that.
Yeah, on this show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Here's Bill in the South Hills. Hello, Bill.
Hi. It's kind of funny. I just waited 12 minutes to talk about Jones, but you guys are talking about sumo. And it's kind of funny. My brother-in-law was just in Japan, and he went to a sumo class and sent us all a picture of him with a bunch of the guys with just that loincloth thing. It was pretty funny.
But, was it meant as a joke, or was he getting serious?
He's just like, these are my
sumo
buddies.
It was a joke. Okay. He's not really athletic. He's just kind of built like a sumo wrestler.
Ah, yes.
So it's kind of funny.
Gotcha.
All right. But, what do you got?
What I have is I'm one of the people where the jury is still out on Jones. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because it was his first real start. You know, in a real game at the position he wants to play.
Yep.
And he was going against a high first round all pro. And he gave up a sack on the first play. But he did show improvement. But what I also watched for is there was a little scrum after a special teams play. He sprinted onto the field and was one of the first people or tried to get in front. I don't know if he was looking to hit someone or to hold back players. You can't tell from the tape, but he was very engaged. He also shows that on a sideline.
Bill, I said that kind of, and that's why I, as like his biggest supporter, get frustrated. He is engaged on game day. Like I don't question that Broderick Jones, during the 60 minutes he's playing, wants to be good, wants to help his team win, wants to keep his teammates like focused on the task at hand. What does have me anxious, and Pony has alluded to it, and I've heard some of the same stuff, is that he does not have nearly that level of focus, professionalism, etc., outside football.
Former offensive linemen that watch him are just baffled by how bad his technique is.
Right,
and
the stuff that he's
not understand how his technique has not gotten better.
Exactly.
Now, this is not something that I am going to pretend to profess to be an expert on because I'm not anywhere close to it. But I know people who are, and they are constantly, chronically bothered by the fact that here he is in year three, and his technique is no better than it was at right tackle. The excuse there was, all right, maybe footwork, blah, blah, blah. It's not his natural side. The technique is still not up to par.
That's what, like, I mean.
And if,
like,
he's if engaged, he would just, why is that?
If he's engaged off the field at trying to become a better football player, you would think he could fix that. Honestly, you know what you needed? Dan Moore's want to be great. The professionalism away from the field.
You need a Mike Munchak, Malzi.
Well, you also need somebody who just can get through one-on-one to Broderick Jones and say, you might have all the talent in the world, so does everybody you're trying to block. You're either going to work hard to figure it out away from, like, the 60-minute game every week, or you're not.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, SouthHillsKia.net. The man responsible for Aaron Rodgers' crappy PFF quarterback grade joins us next, but first, a Sean Myers headline.
You know, we're just playing to win the game. Certainly, if opportunity presents.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Itself from a matchup standpoint. We're open to it, but we don't feel obligated for participation. This is not Little League football. We're going to assimilate a group that we think is capable of winning certain matchups in certain moments. And certainly Cole has had a good process. We're happy to have him back from injury, and I'm sure he'll get an opportunity in the not too distant future.
One of three nominees for our PM team, Tomlinism of the Week. This is not Little League football. Mike Tomlin explaining why Cole Holcomb got no reps on defense at linebacker, while Peyton Wilson was having a horrendous day. One former Steeler player who played on Super Bowl teams told me it was one of the worst games he's ever seen by a Steelers linebacker. And that he was embarrassed for Peyton Wilson watching that game. I'm not sure what Peyton Wilson's PFF grade was for Sunday. Other nominees for Tomlinism of the Week.
I'm certainly not a ball treatment specialist. And can't say enough about Walker and his pad level.
Loving the pad level of one of Seattle's
I think he also
backs.
Said that he loved Walker's running posture.
Well, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. $2.50, that is. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We will get into the Tyreek Hill Steelers rumors later on this hour, but we found this out live on the air yesterday. That Pro Football Focus, and we've had a great relationships with guys like Steve Palazzolo over the years, came out and gave Aaron Rodgers one of the worst grades by a quarterback in week one. 28th out of 33 quarterbacks who played. Chris and I started the show by saying that Aaron Rodgers was the reason why the Steelers won the game. We thought Aaron Rodgers was the Steelers' best player on Sunday. Meanwhile, PFF gave him numerically the same exact grade as Broderick Jones in Sunday's game. John Costco from Pro Football Focus does the quarterback grades, or is part of the team that does, and he joins us right now. John, explain to us why Aaron Rodgers got one of the lowest QB grades on Sunday.
Yeah, he was 26, not 28.
I'm getting bad information from Mulsey.
John, I was just looking at it today where it had McCarthy and Williams both above him. That's why I put 28th. And then I know Zach Wilson technically got in there and was below him as well in 9 scintillating throws or whatever.
Well, I take it all back. He's 26. We're all good then, John. We don't have a beef anymore.
Yep. All right. See you later.
Exactly. We're good, right? I think it's good to understand how the grades come about, right? So Aaron Rodgers, I wouldn't say had a bad game, and you can have a bad single grade game without having a bad game. And the way that happens is basically what you're asked to do in the offense that you're running. I think that Rodgers, you know, made all the throws that most of the throws that he wanted to make. One of the things that doesn't show up on the stat sheet is a dropped interception that he had late in the fourth quarter when they were down by 2 points on their game-winning drive. He was attempting to throw the ball away. It went into the hands of the Jets defender, and he just dropped it. You know, that very well could have ended the game for the Steelers right there. And so that is heavily downgraded, and it doesn't show up in the stat. But you look at what he was able to do, you know, from what they were asking him to do. He had 9 screen passes. They were all caught, went for about 50 yards. And then without the screen passes in there, he was 13 for 21 for 196 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's not bad by any means, but it's obviously, you know, he's asked to throw a lot of screen passes. And when you're asked to do that, and you maybe don't throw anything big down the field and have any sort of like a lot of throws that are, you know, beating the second level of the defense, your grade isn't just going to be all that great.
Well, so, and that's fine. Like, I do somewhat get where you're coming from. Like, I did not expect necessarily one of the touchdown passes was pretty much a handoff to Jonnu Smith. So if you guys said, look, it was not quite Josh Allen-esque or, Justin Herbert-esque, I would say, okay, I can understand that to some degree. Where you guys lose me is, how could Cam Ward, who completed 12 of 28 for 112 yards and literally sacked his team out of field goal range in the fourth quarter, how in the world could he have had a better game than Aaron Rodgers, John? I can't reconcile that.
So it's again, I think it's more understanding how the grades come about, right? Like if Cam Ward makes a dime throw down the field, that's, you know, we would consider a big time throw. Maybe he gets a plus one or a plus 1.5. I don't think he had any 1.5s, but just as an example, but it gets dropped. Obviously that goes down on a stat sheet as an incompletion, but it goes on to his wide receiver. We saw it had happened a couple of times in that game where he made a couple of really good throws, but they were not completed. In terms of the Aaron Rodgers, if you look at actually each one of his touchdowns, you know, he had the screen pass that went for a touchdown. The touchdown he had, first touchdown he had over the middle of the field, the Jets busted at coverage and it was a walk-in touchdown. The second touchdown he had was, like you said, to Jonnu Smith, which is just a walk-in for him as well. And then even the third touchdown that was down the field beginning in the fourth quarter, a couple minutes later after the Jonnu Smith one, was another busted type of coverage where 21 bit hard on the play action. He was wide open in the end zone. So,
shouldn't he get credit for the play action fake to get the guy to bite in?
So, I mean, that play action fake is not, we're not grading how well he does a play action fake. He stuck the hand out there. It's on the cornerback more so to read the offensive line, because if you're reading your keys properly as a defensive back, you shouldn't be coming screaming up when the high hats are for the offensive line. So from a play action standpoint, like every quarterback in the NFL is able to make a play action fake. You know, maybe Rodgers is slightly better than the rest of the league at doing that. And I think there is something to him doing that, but he gets credit for the making the throw and finding the open receiver. He's just not going to get as big of a grade in that type of a play as you would say, he's throwing it into tight, you know, beating tight coverage and you know, layering it over a couple of defenders. So he gets a positive grade per play. It's just not a like a big time throw type of throw in that case.
John, I have
and
a
like I said. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, no, go ahead.
Well, I have a couple like quick hitter questions before like a more expansive one. Is it fair? Would it be fair for me to say that if you were like handing out or credit for how the Steelers passing game performed, you'd almost say credit goes to Arthur Smith for drawing up some good stuff, and then almost discredit goes to the Jets secondary then for biting on fakes, things like that. Is that fair? Just kind of yes or no thought.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think as a quick hitter, yes. I think also Rodgers executed the game plan really well. The throws that he had downfield, he, you know, a couple of them were really easy. He missed a couple downfield. And then the way we grade, you know, if you're throwing short of the sticks, generally giving, like we kind of tell, say that quarterbacks, if they're short, throwing short of the stick, are expected to make those throws or be at least accurate with those throws. He was accurate with them. They generally don't get a big positive grade, which is part of the problem there.
So. John, can a big time throw be like a fairly short throw? Like if he zips one in down the middle to Freiermuth early in the game to convert a 3rd and 10, for example, and I know like DK Metcalf had just converted or later converted one on a catch and run, but he rips one into a tight window where maybe it's 9 yards beyond the sticks. Can that even by PFF grading be a big time throw, or is it not a deep enough throw into the second level of the defense to qualify?
It can. So I can't remember off the top of my head that specific play. So when it comes to a big time throw, multiple factors come into play. You know, how good is the coverage? How deep is the throw? And how difficult kind of that throw is.
Okay.
If the coverage, you know, kind of busts it and it's wide open,
sure,
it's harder to get that big time of a throw, right? If it's threading a needle and it's, you know, you're saying, like you said, it's 9 yards past the stick, generally that would get a big time throw
okay.
If it's tight coverage and you're that far down, you know, that far past the sticks.
Question about the dropped interception. I mean, we all saw the play, but this is something I'm legit curious about. And for the record, just for the record, I am a premium stats subscriber. So you were talking to a largely friendly voice here, and we do use the PFF stats. So he's getting pressured on that ball that he throws away. Like he's under pretty heavy duress. Does that not get the quarterback, I don't want to say absolution here, but does that not help the quarterback or lessen the negative grade if he's very much under duress on a throw that ends up being a turnover-worthy play? Like as opposed to, say, Cam Ward drops back and throws it just right at a guy and the guy drops it for an interception instead of taking it to the house, for example.
Yeah, so like let's talk about the J.J. McCarthy pick six last night, right? That gets the absolute worst grade that we can give to a quarterback. Because he went right to the cornerback and the guy just basically walked it in for a touchdown. That, regardless if he would have caught that or dropped it, he gets that same grade. So that's the lowest of the low that you can get for a grade from a quarterback. Rodgers, on the other hand, is not going to get that severe of a downgrade on that type of play. Partially, he is under pressure. There is a decision that he can make to throw this more out of bounds and not make it leave it into the field of play. Part of it is, you know, he's actively trying to, you know, I don't know if he was actively trying to throw it to that receiver that was behind him or he was trying to throw it away, but he could make a better attempt to throw it away and keep it safe. So there's, I think the what you have to kind of juggle there is that pressure affecting him so much that he couldn't throw it away? Or was it just affecting him a little bit where he still had an opportunity to throw it away safely versus leaving it into the field of play right to a defender?
John Kosko with us here from Pro Football Focus. They had Aaron Rodgers rated out as the 26th best quarterback in week one, even though Aaron Rodgers led the Steelers to victory with a horrible offensive line in front of him and absolutely no run game to speak of. John, you guys think Bryce Young played better than Aaron Rodgers, huh?
So again, I would say like individual game grades are it always depends on like what you're asked to do in that game and what happens with the defense, right? So
by that logic, though, using that rubric, he did, because he did what he was asked to better than Rodgers did. No,
yeah, right. I would say so. Part of it is did this player make turnover worthy play throws? Was his team also on top of making their catches downfield as well? So like there's an aspect of is he taking bad sacks versus not? I don't think Rodgers took any sacks that were really his fault. I think it was all four of those that he took were his offensive line.
Yes.
I'd have to watch Young's game to see on an individual basis what he was doing that maybe was good versus bad. Obviously wasn't a good outcome for the Carolina Panthers, but you don't like when you grade an individual great player on every single play, you know, is he executing the throw that he's being asked to make? And if it's yes, generally, you know, you then grade it based off of that. And if it's no, and he's going outside of structure, then you kind of.
So if I'm going to put this in kind of layman's terms, the throws that were there for Rodgers Sunday against the Jets were basically so easy because guys were open and the Jets secondary, either the play call was good enough or the defense was bad enough, that the vast majority, if not all, NFL quarterbacks would have had similar success, if not better success, in that offense. Is that fair?
Yes, that is fair. That is fair. Now, it doesn't take into consideration Rodgers maybe adjusting the play at the line of scrimmage and checking into that play, because we don't know, you know, like we're not trying to predict, you know, the audibles that are going on out there, right?
Yes.
Sometimes they're dummy calls. You just never know, right?
Yes.
I would say that Rodgers probably gets you into better plays on a more consistent basis than Bryce Young does or Caleb Williams or Michael Penix, et cetera, right? I would have to imagine that Aaron Rodgers is much better at doing that and getting you into the right play.
But if the Steelers had Spencer Rattler, let's say, at quarterback, it would not have been unreasonable to expect him to have 244 yards and four touchdowns as well.
If they're having the same exact plays, correct, I would think you would make you'd have a different kind of game plan with Spencer Rattler,
sure,
than you would with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Right. So like Rodgers, you knew Rodgers could execute this game plan, and he did, right? I would say he did. He had one, you know, just bad throw. He missed a handful of throws that were downfield.
Did you guys have him for any good throws?
We did not have him.
No good throws.
Any big time throws. We didn't have him for any big time throws. He got a lot of positive throws, you know, that ones that were, he was able to complete downfield, but we didn't have him as a specific big time throw. And the one that you're talking about, the Freiermuth, I can't remember it off the top of my head. I'll have to go back and look.
How about back shoulder to Kelvin Austin inside the 10-yard line? No?
So that one, he left. I remember this one specifically because he left it low, and Kelvin Austin had to reach over the helmet of the defender that was right there. And so if he doesn't do that, that's bouncing off the back
of
the
helmet. So better
catch
than throw there.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, John. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for letting me come on and
there you go.
Try to explain.
John Costco from PFF.
Do you get the sense that John, the little laugh at the end there, does he get a call or two every single Tuesday in an NFL city?
And Sean, he's out of his mind.
And the expressed purpose is, what the hell is this grade?
He just said, you know, I could have put it this way. If you put Kenny Pickett in that offense Sunday, it would have been reasonable to expect him to throw four touchdowns against that defense.
Here's my problem with the grade. You are grading it saying the Rattler question's a great one. If you drop him in, you can expect that he would have had 244 and four, and he had to point out, well, the game plan's different, and maybe he wouldn't check into certain plays. When you evaluate it based on, okay, what was the play and did he execute a throw, that doesn't give Rodgers any of the credit for perhaps checking into that play, executing, you know, getting to a play that's going to work.
So he gets no credit
for
his
example,
brain.
Here is something I would give Rodgers a ton of credit for. Maybe we're just scarred here because we've watched some really bad quarterback play. The play Skoranek scored on and the play Kelvin Austin caught for a touchdown are the exact same play. The first time, they didn't go with Skoranek underneath. Rodgers hit him. The second time, they were going with the underneath man in that route, and they left Austin alone. Because if you look at the Skoranek touchdown, it's the exact same play, and he knew where to go with the ball each time.
So,
to me,
you're right.
That is a big high-level quarterbacking
play.
So
to paraphrase there, he basically said the two biggest reasons why Rodgers had a good afternoon was Arthur Smith's play calling, the Jets having a sucky pass defense. Then the third reason, there's a huge drop-off. And then you get to Aaron Rodgers, right? Arthur
Correct.
Smith, Jets suck, drop off Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I didn't think that the back shoulder to Austin was the best back shoulder ball I've ever seen, and Rodgers is a specialist at it, so fine. Like, I'll live with that. But, like, man, I didn't want to go further down the rabbit hole because the YouTube comments here are a mix of, please don't do that to us again, and Malzi, why are you being so nice to this guy? But I would love to know if they have some sort of empirical, like, analytical way to determine a big-time throw. Because honestly, for a site that is very much crunch the data, and I do like it, and I honestly, it's worth the money that I spend on it just to have talking points for the show, Pony. Way too many of the big-time throw designations or lack thereof are just, like, on vibes.
Did he say he made no good throws?
No big-time throws. That is a graded metric by them.
Did he say good or did he say big time?
Big time throws. Okay.
He said no big time throws. He had lots of positively graded throws. But, like, there's a grading threshold where a throw ceases, Pony, to be good and elevates itself to big time.
Can listen to us on demand if you want to hear that interview back on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts at the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. Can listen to Pop and Joe tomorrow to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7thefan.com podcasting page. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. What do you know? The high here today is Broderick Jones, 77. All right. We're a few minutes away from the big Steelers trade report. Is Tyreek Hill coming to the Steelers? We'll break that down with new information. But first, I'm going to tell you guys about FanDuel, the official partner of 93.7 The Fan, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. The lines are out for week two. Off the top of your head, what do you think the line is for Steelers-Seahawks? I'll give you 5 seconds to think about it. One, Mississippi. Two, Mississippi. Three, Mississippi. Four, Mississippi. Five, Mississippi. Time's up. It's only a 2.5-point spread. Steelers 1-0. Seahawks 0-1, going to be a 10 a.m. start for the Seahawks. And the Steelers are not even a field goal favorite. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get 300 in bonus bets. If you win on FanDuel, you'll unlock 300 bucks in bonus bets. FanDuel.com/Andrew to download the FanDuel app today. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is now a double bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.